Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sex and Violence with Rebel Girl is presented by UFC Fight Pass. See the best that UFC Fight Pass has to offer on the Fight Pass 24/7 stream, offering a constant channel of historic fight action all day, all night. Tune in, sit back, and enjoy a network created by fans for fans. Step into our world. UFCFightPass.com.
Sex and violence.
Hey guys, welcome back to Sex and Violence with Rebel Girl, presented by UFC Fight Pass, the show that interviews top-level MMA fighters and other experts in their fields about love, dating, romance, and that all-too-taboo subject, sex. I'm your host, Ashley Rebel Girl Evan Smith. Now let's talk about sex and violence.
What's happening, hot stuff?
What is up, my naughty listeners? We are back in studio. It is the end of spooky season. This is pretty much Halloween weekend because Halloween's on Monday. That's always lame, but I hope you guys are celebrating over the weekend and having parties and getting laid. And if you don't get laid, I hope you self-love. That's masturbation. I hope you guys had a great week. Let me fill you in on what's been going on with me. Last week, I told you I was getting tattooed, and I did. Holy crap. It was a sensitive area right by my hoo-ha. Like I said, I went live for a little bit. If you wanted to tune in, you probably missed me because we really didn't go live that long. If you can imagine, I was... trying to act like it didn't hurt, but it did hurt. This is a very sensitive area, but I'm absolutely in love with it. It's actually a sex and violence themed tattoo. I'm going to be posting about it in the next week or so when it's all healed. It's kind of in that flaky, yucky situation right now if you've ever had a tattoo. So stay tuned if you want to check it out. And check out Ryan Jenkins. He did a guest spot at Stay Sacred Studios, which is a brand new studio in San Clemente. And his Instagram is at Ryan Jenkins Tattoo, just like the way it sounds. Guys, if you are in SoCal, Ryan is based in Las Vegas, but he's actually going to be going back and forth doing like maybe a monthly guest spot. I think that sounds kind of crazy. I wouldn't want to travel that much, but he is worth it. So if you are in Vegas or the SoCal area or even NorCal, check him out. And he's going to be doing guest spots at Stay Sacred Studios. They're on Instagram as well. Check them out. What else happened last week? Oh, all my picks for Saturday's fights, UFC 280. It was Oliveira versus Makhachev. I picked... literally everybody wrong. The last three fights, the title fights, and Sean O'Malley versus Yan, and Carol Rosas versus Lena Landsberg. All my picks were wrong, but they were great fights. So I don't know. Do we have fights this weekend? UFC fights? No? Okay. So just party it up for Halloween, have fun, be safe. Yeah. And then I'm definitely not going to make any bets. I wasn't going to make any bets before, but I realized I told you guys last week that UFC fighters are no longer allowed to make bets, which is kind of whack. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, they want to do everything that's like other sports. So they're kind of respected maybe and like everything's uniform. But then I'm like, but then they come out with this fucking slap fighting shit. Zol, did you?
Sorry, they do have a fight this weekend.
Oh, there is a fight this weekend. My bad.
Calvin Kattar and Arnold Allen.
Calvin Kattar versus Kattar. Arnold.
How do you say that?
No, I think it's all good. Yeah, Calvin Kattar versus Arnold Allen. Arnold Allen, is he Canadian?
Yeah.
He's not the guy that looks like a... He's like... No, no, no. Anyway, guys, okay. Calvin Kattar versus Arnold Allen is this weekend.
English.
I just got... He's English. He's not Canadian. I just got so much crap going on, guys. I just... Anyway, Yep, I'm looking at a picture of Arnold Allen right now, and man, I just gotta get at least the main events, you know. But check the fights out this weekend, the UFC fights. Sunday, this last Sunday, I actually did another gig for Up Next Fighting, where I was the backstage correspondent. I've really been like just falling in love with this job. I'm like the Megan O'Leary of the organization, and I get to talk to the fighters and the VIP guests, and it's just the coolest job. It's the same energy I get to feel, not exactly the same, when I'm about to fight, but with less stress. So I just love being in the MMA community, and I don't think I'll ever leave. I know I won't leave, but that job is, it's so fun. And if you guys want to check out the next Up Next Fighting, it is on November 19th. Yes. And that's Up Next 3. It's a pro card. This last weekend was an amateur show, but even the amateur show sold out. There was like a Halloween thriller performance, and it was just a packed house, super, super exciting fights as well, even though they're amateurs. And I always say this, the amateur fighters are actually just They're nonstop because it's, you know, shorter time, shorter rounds, and they really just have something to prove, you know, and kind of like nothing to lose when you're in your amateur career. That's the time that you get to go out and make mistakes and learn. And then, you know, when you go pro, you wipe the slate clean and you learn from those mistakes and you move on. So what that makes for is absolutely exciting fights. And it was fun, guys. If you want to check out the next Up Next, go to upnextfighting.com, buy your tickets now because they definitely will sell out. That's about it. But oh, okay, last thing before we get to our guest, I want to tell you guys, SOS 8, Submission Only Series Grappling. It is a submission only grappling tournament that I host, or me and Zeta Zhang will be hosting. And this event, it's the middleweight pro, so the big guys, the 185ers, they're all in a tournament for $5,000. That's a big pot for grappling. I don't know if you guys follow grappling, maybe you don't give a fuck, but you know, since my boyfriend's a black belt, I've been paying more attention to jiu-jitsu, and obviously I'm an MMA fighter, so I should know a little bit about what's going on in the jiu-jitsu world, and that's a really big pot. So these guys are going out there, and just like the amateur fighters, they're, you know, leaving it all on the mat, so it's really exciting. My partner who runs the show only picks top-level grapplers. I've seen him pass up, you know, brown belts, high-level, you know, big-name people because he doesn't care. He just wants extremely talented people competing for that prize money, and that's what happens. So if you can't make it live, it's in L.A. County, then you can check it out on Flow Grappling, submissiononlyseries.com. Get tickets now, and they are also looking for some females. So ladies or guys who know female grapplers, please put the word out. 135 to 145 pound females. They're looking for a special match, and there is a smaller pot as well. So if you know some ladies who want to grapple, spread the word, or just DM me or at Submission Only Series on Instagram as well. And if you guys want to help support me or the show, I have an exclusive content site that's kind of like OnlyFans, but it's better. It's called Fan Time, AshleyRebelGirl.com. www.alvinkatar.com. That's where all the sexy pictures and videos are. And then if you want to support the show or buy some merch, it's sexviolencewithrebelgirl.com. And all these links are always in the show notes, guys. So you hear me say it every week and you're like, ah, I always forget what it's at. Just click on the information in the podcast, click on the website, buy a damn shirt, support the show. I see who buys them and I send you guys little thank yous because I love you guys for doing that. So thank you. And if you just want to spread the word, share this podcast with a friend, that does a lot, you know, word of mouth marketing, the best in the biz, and it, you know, will always be. So just tell a friend and that would really help us out. Okay, guys, what else helps us out? Money from our sponsors. So if you ever want to sponsor the show, don't forget, you can always email us at, sexandviolencepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you know a sponsor or someone who's looking to sponsor podcasts, hit us up. You know, we don't know. I'm out here doing all this other shit. Can't always look for sponsors, but we love them. We need them. Let's talk about the ones we currently have. Through Hempco, are big believers in the power of hemp to help you find your better. No matter how you define that, they're committed to creating a straighter line to help you get there. They're upfront about what hemp is, what it can do, and how they make their products. Sourced from seed to shelf, organically grown hemp, non-GMO hemp, USA grown and bottled, and vegan. When you order from Through Hemp, you can be certain that you're getting the highest quality broad-spectrum CBD without any THC. Because their hemp is grown organically in Northwest America, they know every step your CBD has taken, from the seed that's planted to the final product on the shelf. Whether you're new to CBD or you've been taking it for years, you can trust Through Hemp will deliver the best quality CBD with absolutely zero THC. Check out their website at throughhemp.com and connect with them on Instagram at @through_hemp. Be sure to use promo code ASHLEY20 at checkout for 20% off your entire purchase. On your path towards better, skip the detours. Start with Through. Now back to our episode. Today's guest is an American professional mixed martial artist and professional wrestler. Born in Mammoth Lakes, California, she grew up skiing and snowboarding in her small hometown of 300 people. She played on the varsity basketball team in high school, even the boys' team in middle school, and was a junior Olympian in track and field. Undefeated in mixed martial arts currently, she holds a 2-0 pro record and a 5-0 amateur record. She most recently fought for PFL, where she won both bouts of their Challenger Series at 155 pounds. She was an actor in the Lingerie Fighting Championship, acted in other movies, TV commercials, and plays, traveled the world often solo, was an exotic dancer off and on for a decade, performed at over 40 clubs around the United States, cirque and burlesque performer, sang with bands, all while owning her sexuality and embracing her strength and claiming to find her true beauty through breathwork and meditation. We talk about taking a chair to the teeth, being tired of guiding men, sex in a snowplow behind a bar, cunnilingus a must, beating men up for money, verbal humiliation fetish, mic work with Hulk Hogan's nephew, orgasms by foot touch, finding a zombie apocalypse partner, being caught watching porn and self-love by her ex, being overlooked in the industry, and so much more. She is known in MMA as Wrecking Ball and in pro wrestling, Desiderata, the body slamming queen. Here is your guest, Jeslyn Michelle. Jeslyn Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you doing over there? Your mic's all set up. You good to go?
I am so excited. I've been working my whole life to be early or on time for stuff, and I was way ready for you because this is very exciting for me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You gave me such nice compliments before the show. I feel the pressure now to like have a great show with you. But
it's crazy. Like just when I met you at Black House that day, I don't know. There's just something about you, and listening to your other interviews and podcasts, you're natural at this. And That's why I'm wearing eyelashes for you, because you have such a nice product that I want to enhance your product. I want to contribute to it.
Oh, well, you are contributing by just being a guest. And I'm really, really appreciative, because it is, you know, for you listeners who are listening, and maybe this is your first episode, it's a personal podcast. We are going to talk about fighting right now, but we're going to head straight into her real personal life, love, dating, romance, and sex. So let's get to it. You are a undefeated fighter, but you're also a pro wrestler. Let's just stay on the MMA topic for now, but I definitely want to get to all the other cool shit you do, because there's a lot of it. So as far as MMA goes, 5-0 undefeated as an amateur, 2-0 as a pro. Your last, like we talked about in your intro, was for PFL. Now, where do you want to go from here?
I just want to elevate. So five amateur fights with three title belts, by the way. It's really cool.
I like it.
And the last couple of fights, my first two pro fights, were with PFL, and those two fights were to fight for the contract to be part of their season, because I know I'm going to be a millionaire. And I was like, oh, this is going to be my first million.
Okay, yeah. That makes
sense. But that's a different topic if you want to get into that. However, even though I won both those fights while injured, I unfortunately didn't get the contract. They did tell my manager that my opponent, Jackie, if she had won, they would have offered her the contract. And we're like, what the hell? Like, why is that? And basically, it's because she's had over 1,000 Olympic level wrestling. So they liked her experience and her background. And here I am, just a little pro wrestler, like doing body slams and flaunting myself.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I obviously understand from a marketing point of view, they want to promote the Olympic wrestler, all that. But like, you're no slouch. You do so much cool shit. You're fucking beautiful. You're just like a Amazonian Wonder Woman. And I don't understand why they wouldn't want to promote you, since you did the damn thing. You won your fights. I think you deserve the contract. But was that something where fans actually voted? Like, I'm not too...
Actually, the fan voting is part of it. And I did win that with the first bout when I fought the judo black belt. But then it was between me and another winner. And I got the fan vote, but ultimately PFL votes her or I. And she got it. She was in the season. She got like, she had maybe 135 professional kickboxing bouts. So they liked that. Basically, they said they want to see me come back when I have more experience. And it's true. I am new. I'm new to the scene. I don't know a lot. I didn't even think I'd ever be a fighter, and especially a professional athlete after age of 30. Like, that's just crazy. So I understand where I'm new, but it's not just about physical. I've always been athletic, but I realize how much more, and I think the leg up I have is because of this, but how much more fighting is than just physical and even technique. How mental it is. And if I didn't already have the practices that I do, I couldn't have won those fights. No way. Not with just skill or physical.
Of course. You literally just said you're only 2-0 as a pro, but you beat a judo black belt, and then you basically beat a wrestling black belt. There's no such thing, but as far as Olympic caliber, that would be black belt level, right? So, you know, you're like, oh, I'm new. I'm inexperienced. You're just taking out these high-level ladies, and they're no slouches. I looked them up. And so
they weren't.
And they're all at 155 lightweight, which are some big ladies, you know.
They're
so
strong.
You're holding your own with some really talented women. I would think if I was an organization, I would want to swoop you up before someone else took you, or I would want you on our roster.
Thank you. And I do think that you see a lot in people that are good that maybe might be overlooked. And I do think that some coaches have overlooked me too. And that's why I stick with the people who see those qualities in me, because we all have qualities. And I think that if you can look beyond limitations that a person might have, then you can see more qualities. But sometimes they just need a breakthrough, or sometimes they can't get past that. And that's what a coach is supposed to do, is pull them through, pull them past that. And I had a coach help me with that. But I do think that they wanted to see more from me, especially with a wrestler background. They had asked me if I was one to talk shit. And I was like, I don't really, I'm just here to fuck shit up. I don't need to talk shit. But if they wanted that, I think they did, then I didn't give it. And so, you know, I think they just want to see a little more from me, or something to build off of, maybe more dramatic.
Yeah, I understand. It's just confusing to me. And I think because you are in the bigger division and there's not many organizations that have a big talent pool for you to go to, and definitely none that are offering fucking $1 million. I think they're kind of like, all right, we got her by the ovaries. She ain't going anywhere, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And then, so they didn't give me the contract. So we wanted to go somewhere else, in which was going to be the Bellator. Like, we were like, shooting for that.
Yeah.
And then they asked for me to be released, and they didn't release me. They said, we're going to give her another fight, which would be next month. And then that's fallen through. So I don't know.
All right. Well, would you fight anywhere else? I don't know if one has a bigger women's division, obviously Bellator. You're just trying to elevate no matter what. But, you know, do you have a goal as far as MMA?
Totally. Well, I definitely want to keep working, and I would do 145 anywhere else. That's fine. But I just think that everything works out for me. I don't know how or why, but somehow through life, everything just works out. And because of that injury that I sustained that has been ongoing, and every time it gets fixed, I even the last time it happened, I was at Black House and I was so excited to be there, and they're tough and they're kicking my ass. I ended up hurting myself like twice as bad, like even worse.
Oh no.
So I found some specialists in LA, and we got to the root of the problem, and it's not my shoulders or my neck, which we thought really was, it's shoulder problems coming from the neck. The neck's coming from the spine. We realize it's coming from the fucking hips. And I've had this hip thing since I was a kid. So when I'm fighting and I'm in this poor posture, it's continuing to like chain react, domino effect to my shoulders.
Yes.
And so it never gets better.
Wild. All right. Well, I hope that gets fixed.
So I'm just going to just work on fixing that and get some fights hopefully in the new year.
Okay. And do you have someone helping you with, like, a manager trying to get you booked?
Yeah, I love my manager. His name is Roman. It's with Roman Athletic Institution. He's a G. He's been a fighter as well, and he started this. It's fairly new. What I like and respect about him is he is one of those people who sees qualities in people that he can build up and build on.
Yeah.
And just from a gym that I was at, I don't feel like people wanted to build anyone. I think that they really liked something that was already there and kind of
Cherry pick something that's already, you know, they put the work in, they put, you know, been fight tested. They just wanted to stick their stamp on someone who's already established.
I feel like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So where are you training now?
So over the summer I was out in LA, and that's where I saw you, and I was going to do Black House like regularly. Mm-hmm. Although I had a lot of crazy trips throughout the summer.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bartending work and stuff. And I came back to Vegas, and I don't have a team yet. I have been training only one-on-one with a couple of coaches, and then my manager, who's out of Extreme Couture. And I had been at my previous gym, but I left there when I left to LA.
Okay. So you're kind of in transition right now, to say the
least. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay. Body-wise, fight-wise, gym-wise, and that's okay. Transitions are beautiful. They're scary sometimes, right? But then when you get to the place you're supposed to be, you're like, all right, that was supposed to happen.
Totally. And I kind of compare it, I just thought of it right now, to like a relationship. Like, you get out of a relationship, because I felt like I broke up with my gym. It was sad and hard. There was nothing bad.
Dude.
There's really no reason. But I don't want to jump into something and commit to something else yet. I just kind of want to feel it out and find feel myself out too. So
that's exactly the way it is. When I left Subfighter MMA, Adam Lin is the head coach. We did such great things in like a 5-year span. I got into the UFC. I beat the transgender. Like I did like epic shit. Yeah. And but you know, when it was time for me, when I felt like I needed to switch gyms and move on because of whatever reasons, it was like no bad blood, but I felt so sad because it was kind of like my longest relationship, you know? I'm like, I had only had a year relationship up to that point. So to like end things with somebody that I saw all the time for 5 years and we had gone through so much, it was
all
like
the experiences together.
Yeah. Heartbreaking. I was like, we're breaking up, but I understand. Yeah. So then going and finding a new gym, it's a hard choice and you want to make sure it's the right fit, right?
The right choice. Yeah, exactly. And I kind of feel like I don't want to start a new gym where I'm like, oh, be careful with this, my injury, or I can't do that. Like
that's, yep. And trust me, I understand that because even though you and I connected, there are lots of people, males or females, who they don't give a fuck if you're injured and they just want to use you like a tool, right? You need to find some good teammates, and that's hard to come by because sometimes you got to kind of prove yourself to these people, right?
Exactly. Especially if you're new, because I did have a girl say, oh, we're all injured. We're always injured. I'm like, motherfucker, I can't lift my arm up. I can't use my arm.
Yeah. So, I remember when my wrestling coach, Kenny Johnson at Black House, was like, oh, this is Jeslyn. Just move around with her. And I like looked up. I was like, I really hope she's one of those nice people who's just not like, let me set the tone, you know?
Right. And I feel like some of the girls think that I was like that. I think just because I look scary. I don't feel like I look intimidating, but I've learned that I do. And I am a big woman, like 5'10". So I've met bigger women though.
But,
it is exactly like that where but I think being big my whole life, I knew that I was big. And I know other big people relate to this, where you have to be more gentle, like where you have to kind of crouch down and make people feel comfortable. And it's not a good quality for fighting, but like it is because otherwise people would be too intimidated to freaking talk to you.
I never thought about that because I'm a big girl, but I'm not quite as big as you. So
you're 5'8". That's tall.
Yeah. It's tall, but it's not 5'10". I'm always like 5'10" would be the best height because that's the height I am when I have heels on. And I'm like, this is the perfect height. I just feel powerful. You know? Okay. Let's talk about your wrestling career. Oh, sorry.
Go real quick. I had to learn that. I had to learn to own that height and be powerful and be good with that. And if people are scared, then they could fuck off. Like,
yeah,
that's new for me.
Yeah. And, I'm excited to get into a lot of things, but I don't want to neglect your wrestling career because I really have gotten excited about pro wrestling since becoming friends with Zeta Zhang, aka her real name, Julia Ho. I just call her Zeta all the time. But she's kind of introduced me to that world a little bit. And I thought it was going to be like similar to MMA, but so fucking different fans, different training, a different hustle. And I really, really respect it because it's not easy. So just give us a little bit about your background. And then are you currently wrestling?
Yeah, I credit pro wrestling for me slowly, oddly finding fighting, which I love pro wrestling for sure. But once I started fighting, I'm like in love. Like this is my goal.
Yeah.
I think it was easier to do fighting than pro wrestling because it's just more primal and natural for me. Pro wrestling, if you're not a fan growing up, it's way more complex than anyone thinks. They think it's like some choreographed bunch of stunt moves. Not at all. They're wrong. Absolutely wrong. I knew that I wanted to be a pro wrestler when I stumbled in on a pro wrestling show and I felt the energy of the wrestlers yelling at the audience yelling back. I think they threw shit at them. They were wearing costumes.
Yes.
I was like, fuck, I knew pro wrestling. I've seen WWE, but it wasn't this.
It's like theater.
Yeah. With stunts and athleticism.
Yes.
So I was like, I got to call them. I called them the next day. They're like, why don't you just come and watch and we'll see. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We'll see. I'm already in. But now I realize a lot of people want to start pro wrestling, but when they realize what it feels like to literally stand there, jump up as high as they can, kick their feet in the air and land on their back 10 times, they don't want to be pro wrestling.
Yeah, no.
Learning to take a bump is not easy.
I'm not going to let too much out, but there's just things that I'm going to do in the future where I'm like, I may need to call you for advice. So I'm just like,
I got pro wrestling rings in Vegas or in LA. We could go and we could work on stuff if you ever want. I'm just like,
I do feel like so like having a wrestling background, like my high school collegiate background, like or even judo too, right? You just know how to fall. And I'm not sure if the falling is going to be the same as pro wrestling falling, because you got to sell it and stuff. But I feel like hopefully my body doesn't get too banged up, because I'm like, all right, I'm already fucking 35. Am I going to get into pro wrestling someday? I don't know. But anyway.
You're healthy, and 35 isn't old by any means. And I feel like that's kind of a message I want to send when I'm done or getting through this fighting stuff, is we're capable of a lot more. Our bodies are capable of so much more than we give it credit for. So yeah, you're definitely going to be sore for a month or three just kicking those bumps, but you're already conditioned enough. I think it will be a lot easier.
Thanks, girl. Okay. So you found pro wrestling, and then that led you to mixed martial arts?
Well, I found pro wrestling because I was doing performance art. I took myself to circus school. I learned to walk on stilts, which is still the only thing I do. I did a lot of interpretive dance performances, usually gory, oftentimes me stripping down and ripping my skin off or vest, which also I did burlesque. And then that's actually why I saw the wrestling show. It was at a venue I was going to be performing at the next night.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, this is everything, because I love performance art, that I was entertaining people.
Yeah.
But I grew up as an athlete, but I didn't like it, except that I was entertaining people.
Yeah. Okay.
Pro wrestling is all this put together.
What a beautiful journey, right? You know, like, and that's what life is, just learning what you love and what you can excel at and how you can make your vocation your vacation. You know what I mean?
Totally. I always feel like I'm on vacation. definitely. And I think that a lot of people feel like they have to go by a timeline and by a plan, where if you see something you love, just try it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go do it.
Yes.
Just experience it, even if it doesn't last.
I know a lot of people are afraid of failure, but failure really isn't that bad. I feel like all my failures have led to something beautiful. And it does. Yeah. It's embarrassing and it's crappy at the time. But, it's like that phrase, fail forward or whatever.
Yeah. Well, then what exactly is failure? The fact that you had the experience is the success.
Yeah.
I could say I've failed in pro wrestling because WWE gave me a tryout. They liked what they saw. I went through the camp. They gave me and one other girl the interest, and they said, we just don't have anywhere for you. They ended up signing her. They cut her 2 years later, but I'm like, that window closed and that's fine. But that could be a fail. You know, everybody's trying to shoot for UFC and MMA. They're trying to shoot for WWE and wrestling. I'm not going to do that. It's a blessing now, because I realized what it would take to have to be in WWE. You'd have to sell your soul. Like, that lifestyle, you're theirs.
Yeah.
Whereas UFC, you train to fight, and you can still live your life and then fight for UFC. But like WWE, you're on the road.
Yeah.
You're owned, basically.
Yeah. You're owned in a certain way in the UFC too, but not like the WWE, because like I said, Zeta was actually in the WWE. She was the first like Asian I believe in as a female grappler in the WWE, and she told me how crazy they are with their likeness and all that, and so I do think you're right. I think sometimes things work out for the best. You know, I always was super sad when I didn't get on The Ultimate Fighter, the TV show.
Yeah.
But long story short, I ended up fighting a couple months later, fought the transgender, which skyrocketed my name. Still the only female to beat a transgender fighter, which is like, you know, fun fact. But like, my heart was broken because I didn't get on that TV show. And then just a few months later, I realized that, you know, the universe, whatever, life had like this exciting plan for me, even though I felt heartbroken at the time. So
totally. I feel like if we're pursuing anything and we just keep taking the steps forward, the right things are going to happen.
For sure. Okay. So do you have any pro wrestling matches lined up?
Okay. So I, about COVID, my pro wrestling went because all the live shows just ended. Like nobody was running, nobody was doing shows, even fighting. At least UFC was having events, but pro wrestling was just And we were still training at the gym. So I was just like head first into MMA training. I'm like, this is, I got to make a choice, because pro wrestling's not as demanding once you pass the early stages of learning and learning how to build a match and learning what your moves are and developing your character. Once you get past that, it's not, it doesn't require as much training, right? Mm-hmm. You should always be training, but you kind of still got the basics. There is a protocol for how to be a pro wrestler, basically, and you get that. So it was just too hard to travel to do shows on the weekends and try to train for MMA, especially being hurt. And then you have to tell your pro wrestling buddies, oh, I can't take that bump, or I'm not going to do this top rope thing because I can't risk. I got a fight coming up.
Yeah.
And it just is not fun. So someone told me I was going to have to choose. And I said, no, I don't. No, I'm not. And I do. It's just easier.
Oh, so, I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad. Because in my head, literally, I was like, dude, I see her talent. I see her marketability. But it just seems like you're one would be spread way too thin to really excel in both of them. You know, you just got to pick, unfortunately.
I know. And that's okay. There's a former WWE wrestler here that coaches. His name's D'Lo Brown.
Okay.
And I asked him about it. He said, fight right now. I could always get you wrestling later.
Awesome. So like, I love that because, you know, like you just said, it's MMA is a different kind of demanding and a different kind of sore and a different kind of uncertainty in injuries and whatnot, as opposed to wrestling. I'm not saying those bumps and all the high flying crap isn't going to mess you up, but, you know, it's a little bit more, you know,
it's different. Yeah. Yes. One time I got a chair to the teeth and they're cracked. That wouldn't happen.
Wrestling is
it's not what you think. They hit my tag partner on the back and I'm already lying down from something else. And then they just toss a chair and I'm like, I'm like, motherfucker, laying there. I can't move because I'm going to pretend like I'm out.
Yeah. That's like getting injured in the last 10 seconds of sparring or something. You know, you're like, just my luck, motherfucker.
Something stupid,
So I want to jump right into the personal stuff. I'm going to pay attention, you know, what you have lined up for fighting. But the show's called Sex and Violence. Let's get to the, you know, sex part, where we just start by asking you, how do you identify sexually? Are you heterosexual, homosexual, pansexual, asexual? And also, are you in a relationship, single?
Okay. So first question, what am I? I'm straight. I like men. I think women are beautiful. I love to look at women. I'd rather watch women in porn. I just like women, but I feel like if I want a relationship, it's eventually to have a child and I need a man to do that. So I can't do that with a woman.
Yeah.
I've had girlfriends. I've had hookups. I've had, you know, threesomes. So
if you've had girlfriends, you don't consider yourself bi?
Those experiences really showed me that I'm definitely not.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I've had some lesbianist experience and I was like, oh, I am not bisexual.
Well, yes. No. And I think it's just, I think being bisexual means you could commit to a woman or a man.
Mm.
I guess in my case is I don't mind getting involved with a woman for the time being, or with a lover, or, you know, or my best friend that I'm close with. We just share that experience, you know, because that's what love and sex is supposed to be, is a sharing and exchange of these emotions and feelings. It's not nasty or dirty, you know, it should be that way. So.
Yeah. And I completely agree. And I think, like, I'm just so excited because as the years go on and I get older, I become more open with my sexuality and more comfortable with, like you said, like sharing experiences and stuff like that, because I have a partner of 3 years. I want to be with him for the rest of my life, but I'm like, that forever is a long time. So like, I got to continue to grow and learn. And I really want to like drop some of these like stupid, like inside the box ways of thinking about love and relationships. Like, I want to throw them out the door, but after 35 fucking years of just, that's all we hear, you know, it's hard to do that. So I'm trying to change the narrative and talk to people like you who are, you know, a little bit more open-minded sexually and think outside the box as well.
Well, I want to, and I definitely feel like I've been progressive and a lot more open than people that have taught me, but I still don't understand a lot of the new terms these days and like open relationships and polyamory. It makes sense to me, but I truly feel like when I'm in love, like when I'm in fucking love with my partner, I don't have interest in someone else. I don't want to go see someone else.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would feel good with them doing that either. I'm like, if I'm not pleasing you, tell me how I could do better, because I will do better.
Yeah.
I only want to be a better person and better lover. So I'm teachable.
Yeah.
I constantly want to grow. So
yeah.
Tell me what I could do.
I love that. So let's backtrack a little bit to the younger years of Jeslyn. What was dating like, growing up as like a teenager and into your 20s? It's always messy usually. I never hear like, oh, everything was like, you know, nice and boring. But what was it like for you?
Yeah, I realized that my mother had a big influence on my relationships, and I did not know that. But that meant it was a lot of trying to please the man, even if it was at our cost, even if it, you know, wasn't making me happy.
Yeah.
I would say every relationship I've had since I can remember, my first true love, Barrett, all the way till now, that I'm cool with. I
really
don't talk to them. I still respect them. I've talked to most of them still in the years since. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool. I'm not going to go call them up and hang out, but.
Now, is that because you had like amicable breakups, or because you just like made peace with what happened?
I would say mostly amicable, because as I was younger, I was like, okay, that was a great experience. Time to move on. And it probably broke their heart a lot more.
Aww. But
I've always broken up. I've never been broken up with.
No, so. I'm not surprised, but I relate. I had like a period there where I would tell my girlfriends, because they'd ask me like, why go from different guy to different guy? And I'm like, I just get bored. You know, like, and it was so mean, but like, it's not that mean. It's like, you should like date and date and date until you find someone who just excites you all, you know, like all the time. And yeah, like if you're bored with someone, that just means like, maybe that's not the person for you.
Time to
move on.
Just like a gym. Like, I've learned everything I could learn from this, and let's part ways.
For sure. So you were always an athlete, mega athlete, super athlete. Did you always date other athletes, or, you know, was that not...
Where I grew up was a tiny mountain town of 300 people. So all of us kids just did sports and climbed trees and jumped in ice cold rivers. So I would say like my like middle school and grade school boyfriends were like little mountain boys. And that's played into my life now. It's like, I like kind of a mountain, gruff mountain man that can fix shit and has tools and goes hiking and camping.
Okay.
But then as I got older, yeah, I guess in my 20s, they were still the same, because I moved back to Mammoth and taught snowboarding. So there are like a lot of athletes and mountain people as well.
All right. Have you ever dated in the industry, dated other fighters or pro wrestlers?
When I started pro wrestling, I met my fiance, and he was a super nice guy, amazing Hawaiian dude. And I don't know, we just got along. We got along. But the thing that lacked, that eventually ended it, I believe, was our connection and our passion. We respected each other, we loved each other, and of course this is only my opinion, I don't know what he thinks, but he, you know, he was working on his career, he's big name pro wrestler now, and I just felt like in order to build a relationship, we needed to be a little more involved with each other, and it was too hard.
So we're always talking about the perfect partner, and a lot of women and men, you know, we're alphas that come on this show, and we're in this sport where it's extremely selfish. And if you're not selfish, then you're probably giving some of your time, energy, whatever, to your partner that's taking away from you, mm-hmm. which is love, right? That's fucking love. You're willing to sacrifice. Yeah. Your own happiness, your life, whatever it is. And, but some people, you know, we're like, not today, you know, and we just can't do that. So we tend to pick a partner who doesn't need as much maybe like attention, or they're flexible with their lifetime, with their schedule and stuff like that. So you can't really, it's very hard. I mean, people do it, but have two people who are just super excelling in their career, especially the same industry, and sometimes get competitive, right? When like one girl or like the female or the male, or, you know, maybe it's a lesbian relationship, but one partner does better and the other person gets sad because their career is not taking off, and it's just, it can get messy, right?
And I relate to that. But I think it wouldn't have bothered me so much if he was like encouraging me and supporting me and giving me constructive criticism on how I could get to that level too. Like, I felt like he didn't give a fuck. So that didn't help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, right? It's like, you know, you can make it work, but you have to just be cognizant and aware of what your partner's going through at the time, because sometimes when you're that selfish, your partner can feel a little lonely or left out. And
Sure. So I think we did do that for each other, but I feel like, because he was gone a lot, and I feel like when you have that connection and you get back to seeing each other after being on tour or whatever, you want to just like catch up and talk about everything and fuck and like, yeah. You know, and it wasn't there. And so I was like, man, I need more sex.
How long were you engaged for?
I was with him for 6 years. I think our engagement was 2 years.
So yeah, looking back on that, you know, 6 years, that's a long time.
I invested everything. And those last 2 years, I like knew it was kind of like dwindling. And I fucking tried everything to fix it. I changed my whole mindset. Like, okay, maybe I'm just going to stop focusing on what's lacking, focus on what's great, and then start approaching him differently with when he gets home or just everything. I feel like I tried everything. So I don't even feel like it's a failure. I don't even feel like the relationship failed, because I did everything I could.
I love that so much. And that's how I feel about my current relationship, because I feel like for the first time in my life, like not, well, whatever. I say this a lot. I'm like, I'm not an asshole anymore. And I really am trying to just live my best life, but also do unto others as I'd like to be done to, you know, my partner included. And, you know, like whatever happens just with fighting, it's like when you have a fight camp and you really give it your all and you train right, you eat right, you sleep right, you take out the partying, and then, you know, you lose. It's like, all right, the loss sucks no matter what, right? But at the end of the day, it's like, all right, that fighter was just better than me that night. And it's not me. It's not my fault. Nothing that I could have done, right?
Right. Because you did everything that you could do to get there. And that's just the way it works. Mm-hmm. I liked looking at your fight history. Like I want to ask you someday about some of those fights.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you, moving forward, you dated the pro wrestler, maybe you've dated some fighters. Are you trying to stay away from that? Or is that something that still is appealing?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So after that engagement ended, I had an amazing rebound who's a fighter. It was the rebound that I needed to fill all the void that was there from what the relationship lacked before. And it was fucking fun. And I felt happy and it was fun. But that kind of excitement and fun that a person like that, of that personality, provides also isn't the one that I want for longevity, because eventually I want stability in a family. So it's like I had the extreme here, who was very stable as a fiance. Although he had his profession, was gone a lot, he was stable. Like, he taught me a lot about kind of just being responsible and timely and saving. And this one is just wild and fun and exciting. So I'm just waiting for the middle, but I'm not even waiting. Like, I'm at the place now, single. And I'm sure, you know, even when we're single as women, there's always someone you're talking to or something that's being entertained. Mm-hmm. Not right now. I'm not fucking talking to anyone, not entertaining anything. I don't care. I'm kind of too mean. I shut people down on the social media.
Well, no, I mean, like, look, you know, you're not 20 years old. You're not just now starting wrestling or MMA. You know what it takes and you know what you can't give right now. So it's actually a very kind thing, in my opinion, to shut someone down right away instead of leading them on a little bit. And then you're like, oh, by the way, I don't have time for you because I got this going on. So, like, I always say honesty is the best policy. Just be upfront and blunt. So that later they can't be like, you didn't say. I'm like, yes, I did, bitch. Yes, I did.
Yeah, no, I say right away, I have three priorities. Men and social media are not on this. So if you're not in these three priorities, then I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So not dating at all. So guys, stay out of the DMs. Okay.
So that's the thing, is I don't want to shut myself off.
No one interests you right now.
I'm sure if that person walked up and like was there and I recognized it and it was like this, like, I don't know, like this man that I've been dreaming of that I haven't dreamt of yet.
Yeah.
I'm open to it.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. So, okay. So if this man, he's just a shadow, but like,
Silhouette,
put him into perspective for us. You know, what does your ideal man look like and what does he do, or what are some characteristics that attract you?
Sure. I don't like to be superficial, but I would like him to be taller than me. I'm 5'10".
I mean, I really feel like there's a lot of tall men out there, but you definitely take some of the population away, right? Because you're a tall woman.
Definitely.
You're tall.
It is true. And that's only because for, longevity, children, we all want our kids to be like better than us.
You're trying to breed super athletes over there. okay.
That sounds so stupid.
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't even want kids, but like sometimes I'm like, yeah, like would my kids be good wrestlers? Yeah, I would teach them the best wrestling. You know?
Yeah, kids love to wrestle. But so speaking of that, I would hope and dream that they could or have been involved in some kind of combat sports, whether it be wrestling or jujitsu or former fighters. I don't think I would date a current fighter because they got to focus on that. Yeah. And I got to focus on mine. I do see fighters who have wonderful wives, but the wives are there to be there for them, to support them. Like, I can't offer that right now.
Yeah.
I just don't have the time for that. And I want to be able to offer that, but it's just not right now. I'd have to put something on the back burner. So that'd be ideal if they have that experience. They obviously need to love nature and camping and traveling.
Yeah. You're an outdoorsy girl traveling the world. I love it.
Yeah. And ideally already have traveled a lot because I've met a lot of guys who are willing to learn and kind of tag along with me, but like, I don't want to teach anyone anymore. I want a dude to like already be established and have his shit and have his good habits.
Yeah.
And like good habits, I mean like fitness and health and mental health, and ideally already understand meditation and doing all the inner work and all that shit. So I'm tired of guiding men for doing that. And I don't want to change them. Like, I shouldn't have to try to change them. And like, they should already be, they're wonderful how they are. But
sounds like you might need an older man.
I know. I think that a lot too.
Do you have an age range that's like, you know, some people, you know, I've been a cougar before when I was younger. No. But and then like I used to have a friend who was the opposite. She was like, "Ooh, I like a guy who's about 45." Like, oh, and I'm like, 45. This is when we were in our 20s, you know.
We thought it was old.
Yeah. Now I'm like, that's really not that old. That's 10 years from me. Wow.
Yeah, it's not even that old. Like lately, I've been attracting guys under 25, and I'm like, what is this?
Okay.
But yeah, as far as a relationship, I would think he'd need to be older and a little more established also. But I also want to be at a place where I can offer something to them too, not just, oh, I'm some starving artist is how I often feel. And I'm just trying to live my dreams, these crazy dreams. Will you support me and love me?
Yeah, so. For sure. Okay, makes a lot of sense. So I like to ask fun questions because I just love hearing some stories. But do you remember like one of your worst or, you know, just kind of like dates that you were like, I can't believe that happened?
No. Honestly, I haven't.
Never had a bad date?
No.
No online dates where they were like, oh, I look like this, and then catfish.
So I've never, ever met a guy in real life that I first met online for a romantic date reason.
Have you never done online dating?
I've never been on a dating app.
Why not?
I know. I mean, I think about it here and there, but because there's already men all over that I'm like, okay, leave me alone now.
But like for you especially, I'm like, I always say this to people who say they don't do online dating, and I'm in a relationship, but I'm like, it seems like it would be so much easier because you're just like, oh, he's not over 6 foot. Okay. Oh, he doesn't know what jujitsu. You know what I mean? Like, no. Okay.
Yeah. It makes sense. It definitely makes sense. But I'm already on my fucking phone too much. That's the last thing I want to be on. I wear my Blu-ray glasses, by the way, because my eyes were hurting me from looking at my phone so much.
Good girl though. Good girl. I need to do that. Dang.
But, like, it just seems like so much effort in something that's not priority. So my priority is training and MMA, making money and healing my body. And those are like the only things I really have the time and energy for. So especially right now, maybe when my body's healed and I'm feeling better, and I don't have to do my rehab for 3 hours a day, then I'll have time, you know? I don't know.
No, but totally understandable. Totally understandable. It sounds like you have your priorities in check, and that's the most important thing, you know? So keep doing you. What's the most romantic, or because we can be crazy, crazy fighter girls, what's the craziest thing you've ever done for love?
Fuck. I guess when I was younger, I messaged other girls and threatened them, and it was way before I ever fought.
Like, stay away from my man, bitch, or what?
Say, well, kind of, yeah, but more like, have some fucking class, and if you can, I'm going to show up at your door.
Ooh, that's
which good. I would never, like, that's not even me. Like, people that know me think I'm really nice, though.
But, I mean, it sounds like someone was sliding into your man's DMs, and that's kind of like a nice, yeah, like, have some fucking class.
It was during Facebook days only. Like, Instagram hadn't really taken off. I think it was like 2010, 2009.
Yeah. Makes sense. That was my senior year of college. And I remember I had to create a Facebook for one of my friends before. She had created a MySpace for me years before. Yeah. And I was like, no, it's all about Facebook now. And now, you know, we're old as shit and it's TikTok and, you know, Instagram and Snapchat. I'm like, oh, God.
I know.
Remember MySpace days?
Yes. I like that because I love music so much. That's the other thing I would need a quality in a man. He needs to love music and have a variety of tastes of music and or ideally play or have been able to play or make music of some sort.
You said something really cute when we were talking on the phone, our first little chat. You were like, all I wanted to do ever in life was be a singer or in a rock and roll band. And I love that so much because I get this question, like, if you weren't a fighter, what would you do? And I'm like, I would be a rock star. Because I'm just like, that sounds like, and I love music. I can't play. Yeah. I can't sing. But I'm like, I want to be a rock star.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you could play something. So we should join a band.
Oh, I'm down. Let's start a band, girl. Okay. On to some like sexy questions. Where is the craziest place you've ever had sex? Maybe like a public place or like a crazy hookup story?
Yeah. I did not end up fucking the guy from the sunglass kiosk on Hollywood Boulevard who said, let's just go in the bathroom right now. Like, how often do you get a sexy stranger to just ask you to fuck right now? You might as well have it. You're here in Hollywood. Do it. I did not do that.
Okay.
Thought about it later. It was right before a fashion show that I walked in Hollywood. The craziest was probably with my boyfriend when I was young, behind a bar in the mountains where it was snowing. So there's a big snow plow. And we went up in the snowplow and just sat on the seat.
For you listeners, she's just bouncing up and down right now.
It's my yoga ball.
Oh, okay. It makes sense. I'm like, you're really bouncing. the listeners wish it was a video podcast right now, for sure. That's awesome. Okay. So do you abide by this whole no sex before a fight thing?
I would fuck whenever I want to fuck, honestly. But I do understand. So I dated a drummer once and he says he couldn't ejaculate before he went to his jam session because it depleted his energy. And as a death metal drummer, you need a lot of energy to like double pedal and go really fast. He was really good. Oh. So I'm like, sure. I'm pretty certain he was cheating on me and fucking someone down there, but that's a story.
Okay.
But someone told me right before my fight, they're like, come over. And I'm like, no, I'm focused on fighting. I got a fight coming up. That's why you need to come over, because sex draws out the testosterone so that you'll have more testosterone. I don't know if that's true, but I thought about it.
Look, my whole thing with pretty much everything is in life is, hey, to each their own, you know, whatever fucking floats your boat, like whatever you think is going to help you because of the power of the mind, I think is really going to help you. If you think this fucking four leaf clover is the shit, you know, like take that feeling and that thought into the fight with you. You know, if you think getting laid gives you superpowers, bang one out before the fight. That's what
totally. You know? Absolutely. And that's all beliefs are. Like, the belief is true. If you believe it to be, it's going to be true.
For sure, for sure. What is one of your pet peeves in the bedroom? I love this one because, you know, people be lazy, people be asking weird things or not taking care of their downstairs.
Yeah, they gotta participate in cunnilingus if they don't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you're in a relationship, I feel like there should be period sex, but a lot of guys don't. So I understand if you're just kind of dating, that might be the next step. But it annoys me when your fiance or someone you've been in a relationship with won't.
I've literally never had that happen. Maybe I've just been with a lot of dirty motherfuckers, you know, but like never had a guy be like, ew.
They know.
Yeah, no.
Really?
Yeah, no. I'm like, which in a weird, disgusting way, I'm like, thank you, you gross individual. You
know? Yeah. Thanks for being so gory. Geez.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no. And because like at that time of the month, like that's, you got a lot of energy for that, I feel like. And then, yeah, lazy dudes, like if they just make you get on top all the time, that's boring. Like we're already alpha, right? And I have the side job where I have to be extra alpha and beat men up. And
wait,
we haven't talked about that.
Okay.
But, I just feel like in the bedroom, I want like a man to take me over, you know, like
yes.
be in control. Cause yes. I always have to be in control.
Yep. Yep. That's
and when they don't do that.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's such a nice like change of pace, right? Where it's just like MMA, it's, you know, even it like we talked about earlier, even like you walk into a gym and you like kind of have to put your resting bitch face on sometimes, you know? Like mm-hmm. I, you know, you want to be kind, but like sometimes people take kindness as weakness. So it's just like tough. I'm tough. Oh, you want to go? Let's go. You know, and then for you and your other job, but can't wait to talk about it, you know? It sounds like you got to be tough. Wrestling tough. So it's like when you get to the bedroom, it's like and you have that man who's bigger than you and makes you feel dainty, you know? It's like, okay, I'm submissive.
That's probably why I need a bigger man, because that's the only reason so he could throw me around.
Yeah, who's going to be able to just pick up fucking 155 pounds of woman?
Exactly.
Dude, you are an amazing, like, okay, your Instagram handle is at the body slamming queen 333, right?
Yes.
Dude, so I stalked you. I always stalk all my guests, do all my research.
Smart.
Just epic, like these slams, these throws. Guys, check out not only her pro wrestling, but you did an acting stint for Lingerie Fighting Championships, which, yes, guys, this beautiful woman is in panties and a bra just suplexing this other chick. And it's just, maybe I'll put that link in the show notes just because, like, not even because you're half naked. It's like your throws are just beautiful. And from a wrestling background, like, I just really appreciate that.
Yeah, and that chick was a pro wrestler too. There's a really cool clip where she goes for the arm bar and everyone wonders if they could do this, but I did pick her up with one arm.
Yeah.
And I take her to the cage and I just slam her back on the cage while she's clinging to my arm with her legs around, you know. And
so yeah,
you don't think that could happen in a real fight, but
watching that, you know, I was so taken back because I did think that Lingerie Fighting Championships was like you guys were actually fighting, but, you know, clarify for me, is it more of pro wrestling where it's kind of like a little bit of an act?
They're not going to want me to say anything, but they screwed me over. So
okay.
I'm going to just say the truth.
Okay.
And I feel like if something's the truth, you're not gossiping or talking shit. The truth is the truth.
Yeah.
It's a work. It's a work, which I don't know, that's a pro wrestling term. It means you guys are working together to make it work.
Okay.
A shoot. It's either work or a shoot. And if it's a shoot, it means it's off script. It means like it's a real fight. Like MMA is a shoot.
Got it. Okay.
So those are pro wrestling terms.
Thank you. I need them.
There's so many. It's the whole plethora of pro wrestling jargon that you'll learn. It's so funny. But a lot of the girls they hire for that aren't any kind of athletes. Like that's why I kind of had to leave, because I was doing really well as a pro wrestler. That's why they hired me for the lingerie thing. And they liked my character and I was able to be a fucking bitch. And it was like real, like I liked it. Like I could let out that side and it would be okay. But then I started really fighting and they were like getting mixed together. And like people that don't know fighting were thinking they were the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's a TV show, a reality TV show. That's fake. This is my real fighting. So and there are other reasons, but I eventually just quit. And so a lot of the other girls they hire are mostly fetish models or porn stars. And so they do go at it because they don't know how to work. They weren't taught any moves. So they're, you know, trying to take each other down and slide around their little sexy bodies.
Yeah.
And that looks cool. So the matches do have variety as far as skill sets.
Okay.
And level.
Okay. Well, I'm actually really glad that I asked that, because it does sound like you said people were getting things mixed up, but what I hear on this podcast is that your full focus is on mixed martial arts. You know, you're not talking to dudes, you're not wrestling, you know, competitively. You may be doing some bumps or, you know what I mean? I don't even know if you are, but you sound focused. And I got to go back.
Yeah.
What is this job where you, you froze, dang it. What is this job where you beat men up?
So I had no idea. So actually it was during the lingerie fighting thing. They took us all over. They took us to Slovakia and we did a lingerie show there. And while there, my roommate was a woman named Jennifer. And she told me about this business she has. It's been around since the 80s even, but she only started hers like 15 years ago or so. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense, because I get these weird messages. And I'm sure you and all the other fighter chicks get these fucking weirdos that are saying, oh, I want you to beat me up. I want you to kick me in the balls. I want you to choke me out. There are literally men that act like they don't believe women can fight or do anything athletic or have muscles even. Like, they've never even seen it. It's like, we're like aliens from another world. And so they're just fantasizing and fascinated by what we're able to do.
Yeah.
So she's provided a directory of girls who will do that for them. Listen, I'm not going to go into detail. A lot of the girls probably do other things, but I'm one of the very few, if not the only professional MMA fighter that has pro wrestling experience and just down to meet random men at a private location, which is our MMA cage here, a wrestling ring. And then literally I use them as a grappling dummy. Like, they want to wrestle me to test their strength out or to feel what it feels like to be under a big woman's power.
Yeah.
They get fucking schooled and it's so fun, and they give me money for it. And I'm like, dude, I'm just practicing the drill that my coach taught me over and over. And just flowing. They're like the little unknowing weak bodies are driving around, and I just let them move, ride it like a wave. I feel lucky.
That's great. Yeah. Well, okay. But my first question is, what if a guy like gets handsy or gets a boner? Has anyone gotten,
all the time.
Oh, can't do it. I'm out. You know, like, I'll just be a cry, chop your wiener, get out of here.
And they'll pay you extra.
Oh, they're like, she loves her job.
So when I was in a relationship, I kept it very strict and personal. If they were doing that, I just ignored it. Mm-hmm. Like, I just ignored it and, you know, didn't play on it. Now that I've been single, I'm like, oh, what do we have here? And then I'll just like talk shit, basically.
Yeah.
One of them. Yeah. Like, oh, you never knew that getting your ass kicked by a woman bigger, stronger than you, who's going to do this for you. Stupid pussy.
Yeah. And then there's like that, I don't know what it's called, but kind of a fetish where men enjoy being talked to like a bitch, right? What is that? Like,
exactly. I don't know what the name of the fetish is, but it's the same complex that I have. A lot of the men that like it are high level CEOs and bosses where they always have to be in charge. A lot of engineers.
I know that there's somebody listening that's like, it's this fetish, but like, like they just like being degraded or talked down to, right? Like, I'll think of it later, but
I don't even know it, but I participate in it. So
that's amazing. And so go ahead.
My friend Jennifer was telling me about it. I was like, are you serious? She's like, yeah, you already train. You already travel. You can do this and people pay this money. And I'm like, that much money? What?
Wild. I really hope, you know, and this is my like mom side or whatever, I don't know. Like, just be safe, because
verbal
I watch
humiliation.
A lot of, say it again.
Verbal humiliation.
Oh, verbal humiliation is, thank you, DJ Zol, is what it's called. Verbal humiliation for the fetish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, just be safe, you know, because you're beautiful and, you know, it just takes a gun or like multiple dudes and, you know, you're strong and tough, but, you know, I just worry for safety purposes.
Thank you so much for caring. So there's the underground world of it. It's its own community. You have references. We have people that have been involved for like 20 or 30 years. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's a directory of references of an email that they use or names. And we can see if other girls put reviews, if they were time wasters, dangerous.
Like Yelp, yeah. Yelp these guys. Their own little
pretty
Yelp.
Much. It is. It's like a personal Yelp for this weird underground fetish that's been around forever.
There's an episode. I know you did your homework and you listened to a few episodes, but there's one I would advise you to listen to just because you'll probably relate to a lot of it. Her name is Dominique Danger, and she was a
I know her.
Oh, there you go. Okay, perfect. All right, you guys.
You interviewed her?
Yeah, she's on the podcast. And she's
a black belt. Right?
Yeah. She is amazing. She blew my mind, you know, like opened my eyes to like that whole other world. And I just love having on different, you know, I have like 99% combat sports athletes, but then, you know, I'll have adult film stars, dominatrix, you know, all walks of life.
So we worked together. So the same woman, Jennifer Thomas, that has this also started a new company called Women on Fire, where she has live shows. So it's like pro wrestling, but it's the girls shoot wrestling each other, and the same fan base of men in that strange underground industry come to watch. I'm the announcer and commentator on the mic.
Okay.
On stilts while walking on stilts. Yeah, it's so cool.
That just got so good. You're the commentator on stilts.
Yes, and I get to talk about their fighting or whatever. You know, I know obviously all the moves, I can commentate.
Yeah.
But also what makes it exciting is I can make it sexy, and I could talk about their asses or their glistening bodies writhing around on each other. And I will say that my grappling coach is the first person to help me learn how to speak on a microphone. He's Hulk Hogan's nephew, and he totally just being around him just totally showed me how to be more enthusiastic and excited and exciting and clear on the mic. And I give him thanks for that so much.
Oh my God, that sounds awesome. So you're saying
Dominique was the ref for one of the shows, and I'm commentating. And I remember I'm like, oh, she's Lynn at the side control. And I'm going on to all these moves that the girls are doing that they don't even know they're doing.
Yeah.
And Dominique sent me like, you know what you're talking about.
She was probably like, all right, another chick who's legit in here.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. I was in Chicago.
It is a small, small world. And that's why, like, literally, you know, there's a lot of like female on female hate. And I'm like, why? There's so few of us. Like, the industry is so fucking small. Like, why not try to build each other up, you know, help each other, work together somehow?
Jealousy and insecurity. And I don't understand. I've never felt jealousy. I've never been embarrassed either. And that's exactly the thing. It's like, we are here together. Like, we're here to do this. Like, if you feel threatened, then step up. Like, you are special. There's things about lots of people that I could never do or be. And same with me and you. Like, why don't we recognize that?
Yeah.
That's something I like about you and your podcast is you do that for everybody, especially other women.
I try to, you know, and the show's not for everybody. And there's been some ladies that I've contacted to be on the show, and they declined because they don't want to put their personal stuff out there. And I completely respect that, you know. Yeah. But I would like to think that the true listeners of the show know that this podcast is not just about sex and violence. It's a place where you could, you know, really get to know another side of these fighters, where you kind of just see them as like a number, right? Or a statistic or a record.
Yeah.
Or a weight class or whatever the fuck it is. But it's like, we are so much more.
Totally so much more. I told my ex, Rebound, that I was going to do this podcast. And I was like, I'm going to have to talk about sex. He's like, you don't have to talk about anything. I'm like, well, I'm going to talk about sex. He's like, well, he's like, what I always do is answer with the answer of the question I want to be asked. So like, if you ask a question, but I want to talk about something else, I'll just talk about that. And I was like, but I like talking about sex. There you go.
Yeah. I love that you're very comfortable. And when you mentioned that you were commentating I'm not sure what kind of fights you call them, but the shoot fights that you were mentioned, you were saying that you can kind of like talk like, oh, they're glistening and stuff. So are you good at sexy talk, like dirty talk? Is that something you think you excel at?
I've never really tried it, baby.
I love it.
I don't know. I don't think so.
You've done so much cool shit. You've done acting. You were a exotic dancer for a decade in 40 different clubs around the United States. So I'm just like, you just fully fucking embrace your sexuality. And I love it. I love it so much.
Right. But a lot of people would be like, oh, these strippers, they're got daddy issues and this, that. I love my parents. I have no issues like that. My parents and I have great relationships. We all have our issues. We all have our, you know, problems or arguments, family, that's just inevitable. Mm-hmm. But I felt like when I got into that kind of stuff, I just wanted the experience. Like, I just wanted to see what, I don't know. Like, I just feel like I listen sometimes to something guiding me and I just fucking do it. So I never thought I would be a stripper turned professional MMA fighter in my 30s. So.
I love it. I love it. And you're doing the damn thing. Well, back to the sex talk. I'm sorry. Wildest sexual experience, if you can think of something that you could share with us. Doesn't even have to be that you had sex. Anything maybe happened like in the club one night, you saw something crazy or something that you remember, you're like, oh, I'll never forget this. I feel like you've traveled the world and you've done this job that are, you probably think this job is like, ah, it's boring. But like, what's what's something crazy that maybe one of the men who asked you to beat him up, you know?
Right. I hear what you're saying. Well, like initially, like instantly I thought about any of the threesomes, but I think the wildest one would be when I was in Panama on Bocas del Toro's island, which is a backpacker's island, and me and my friend from California traveling together met two Finnish boys. They're so hot. And we were hanging out with them all day long, and we went out to one of the little bars. They're like sandy floor bars all around the water's edge, and I just remember us starting to kiss. Like, we just looked at each other and we just started making out really fucking hard. Yeah. I remember going with him. I like, you know, we had little crushes and we're eyeballing each other all day long. The next day, I woke up in a hammock in some cabana somewhere else on the island with him, totally naked, like in public, like this, anybody could walk by. And I could see our clothes are like fucking strewn about, but fortunately there was no one there. It was kind of early in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I wake up and I get our stuff and we walk and I go to see my friend at our little hostel. And she's like, oh yeah, our tour guide, because he was a tour guide for both groups, my friend and I and the Finnish boys. He's like, I saw your friend. They're just wild. They're just all over the place. There were clothes everywhere. And I'm thinking that the motherfucker was watching us the whole time.
Oh my God. All right. So you're unintentionally an exhibitionist.
Yeah. That was fun though. I always wanted to get a hold of that Finnish guy again.
Well, I feel like it's time for the lightning sex round. For those of you listening who don't know, this is a rapid fire yes or no segment where I just ask Jeslyn a few questions and she says yes or no. Unless you feel like you want to elaborate, the listeners get mad at me if I cut the guest off, if they want to like tell a story. So you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Lightning sex round. Here we go. Do you dirty talk in bed?
Yes.
Spank or like to be spanked?
Don't ever spank me. I will slap you. I'll spank you.
Got it. Biting?
Sure. Lightly.
Choking?
Always.
Any fetishes, like a foot fetish?
I love my feet being fucking touched.
Like, really?
Yeah. Like someone was touching my feet last night, not romantically. And I'm like, well, it was my friend, but not romantically. I don't know. I don't know if you are. I was like, dude, if I could have an orgasm by the feet touch, I probably could.
That's so great because it's literally so much the opposite on this podcast where like people are like, ew, feet. But like, yeah. So you really, really appreciate your feet being touched. And what about more? Like there's foot worship and like lick and all that kind of stuff.
So there's a fetish world with that. And actually we get a lot of those people in that industry I was talking about. Mm-hmm. They want to be kicked and stuff and then bow down at your feet and tell you how strong you are, and then they kiss your feet, but that's because they love feet and feet worship.
Feet worship, yeah. Okay. What about threesomes?
Always.
Do you watch porn?
I read a meme that said if you masturbate, and I watch porn to masturbate, that means you can't submit to a man. And I'm like, probably right.
Submit to,
because they were saying regularly. So yes.
That makes sense. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. What about bondage, like ropes, blindfolds, handcuffs?
Not really. No.
Okay. Bodily fluid fetish?
No fetish on that.
Got it. Role playing?
I'm not going to instigate that, but if someone wants that, sure. I'm an excellent actress.
I was just going to say, I'm always curious to see if the people who are actually good at acting do that in the bedroom, you know?
Yeah, probably not.
But you haven't before?
No, but in that weird industry, when I start fighting them, they're like, they say that they want to pretend like they're talking shit and I talk shit back and then I proceed to beat them up. So it's like a role play.
Okay, like that. Kind of like a role play, yeah. Butt stuff on you or a partner?
On me.
Okay. Ever been to a sex club or a swingers party?
I've always wanted to. Like, I've always wanted to. Actually, here in Vegas, where our MMA cage is, mm-hmm. It's a swingers club, and he has a pool and a bunch of cabanas. So I walk through there all the time to pay him the rent when we use the space, mm-hmm. and I see it, but there's never good-looking people there.
Is that one the green door?
No, okay. I've heard of that one.
That's so funny you said that. You said there's never good-looking people. That's literally what my partner said, because I asked him about the Vegas stuff. He used to live in Vegas for a couple years.
Oh.
And he said the same thing. He was like, I just never saw anyone like that I was like, oh, I would like to see that person naked,
yeah.
like walk into that place. And so I was like, okay, yeah. that's understandable, you know? It's like, yeah. what good is going to all you can eat if it's all like...
Junk food.
Yeah, junk crap. Food.
Yeah. yeah.
Exactly. Do you ever use sex toys?
I like vibrators.
Okay. Lingerie lover?
What does that mean?
Are you a fan of wearing lingerie?
For my lover?
No, for yourself.
Oh, yeah, only for myself.
Okay, all right. Body hair, yay, nay?
I'm not a very hairy person, so I kind of neglect maintaining it. And then I look at it, I'm like, oh, I better do something.
No, not you, on a partner.
Oh, I prefer a man without body hair, but I've never said no to someone I liked that had hair.
You mentioned mountain men or like kind of like beefy burly men. And like I automatically thought like hair, you know?
So I don't really care for beards because they smell weird. Mm-hmm. But when I say mountain men, I just mean someone who knows. I realize this. My attraction to a man or even a woman is how well they could survive a zombie apocalypse with me.
Yes.
That's true.
Oh my God. That's literally what me and my boyfriend were talking about during the pandemic. We're like, hey, if this was a zombie apocalypse and shit was like really going down, like, I'm glad I got you. I'm like, oh,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. A team. Like, you got a team. Like, mm-hmm. why would you want someone that's going to hold you back?
Yeah. He knows about like guns and he's a black belt. I'm like, I got the good one. I got a good one.
There you go. And then you could fuck shit up too.
Yeah. Yeah. He took me shooting and I've shot guns one time now, but I don't know if that's going to help in the future.
Well, come to Nevada. You just pull off on the side of the road and start shooting.
That's where he took me shooting, was in Nevada.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Okay.
Call me up.
Ever been caught having sex or masturbating? Last question.
Both. But the last time I got caught masturbating was like one of the last months with my fiance, and I was watching porn. And so he like quietly came in and I was doing it. And so it was embarrassing. And he started laughing at me.
Oh,
and
no.
He was like, oh. And I was like, listen, I don't think it's fucking funny because you're here and I have to fucking masturbate. Like, yeah. How sad is that?
Yeah. So, ooh, burn. Yeah. 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 Don't laugh, guys, you know, or girls. Like, if anything, like, if I was the guy, I would be like, need a hand? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You'd start a porno.
Yeah, like.
Exactly.
Perfect, you know? Like, oh, I'm glad I walked in at this time.
I know.
Yeah.
But he wasn't that way. And that's kind of one of the reasons why it didn't work out.
All right. All right. I understand. That. All right, the last two segments of the podcast are a game of Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Yes, yes, yes.
Fuck one, marry one, kill one. Go.
I think we're done here. Done here.
It's all good, in good fun, guys. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's just a game, and then fan questions. So, for the Fuck, Marry, Kill, you have the PFL version, and that consists of Ray Cooper III, who is the welterweight champ, featherweight champ. Actually, I don't know if he's still the featherweight champ, but he was. Lance Palmer.
He was.
And Rory McDonald, who I believe is retired right now.
Yeah, he is. And I recognize their names, but I had to like look them up to think about their faces. And so let's see. Ray Cooper, he's from Pearl City, Y, where my ex was from. And he's young and he was getting in fights when he was a kid and he just seems like he has all this energy. So I'd fuck him because I think that he can handle it and last a long time.
Awesome.
Lance Palmer.
I heard this guy is like the nicest, like family man, like good dad, all American boy, wrestler. Like that sounds
high
like
school
a
school wrestler, huh?
Yeah. Sounds like a Mary type.
Mary. I did have that Mary in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because okay. He's also an Aquarius. I'm Aquarius. I stopped caring about astrological signs when I realized how many people judge people and ixnay them because, oh, he's a Taurus, I can't, that'll never work. Or she's a Scorpio, she's crazy. Like, yeah. People start like using that, yeah, you know, like as references. Like, no, I'm way more than just what this stupid book tells you.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that is an Aquarius thing to say, though.
So you fuck Ray Cooper, marry Lance Palmer, and kill Rory.
Yep. Sorry, and I would kill Rory because I don't know.
Well, someone's got to go. That's okay.
Yeah, someone's got
to
go. Yeah.
All right. So before we get to these fan questions, this is the part of the show where some people will follow us to the UFC Fight Pass platform to hear their exclusive fan questions asked. But some people, they're kind of lame. No, just kidding, guys. Some people are not going to follow us. So for those fans, where can they follow you on social media? This would actually be a great time to plug that website if you want to get any future work or anything else you want to promote right now.
Just my social media. Just last week, my manager convinced me finally to make my Instagram account public. It's been private because I like to filter through people to make sure they're genuine fans. So I don't have a big following, but they're all quality. Like, I know them. That's, and yeah, I like that.
That's nice. That's so nice. But I just feel like when you get to a certain level with sponsorships and it's like you don't have that luxury anymore to filter them out, and you got to deal with the crazies and all the dick pics and all of that.
I know, so many dick pics and stupid things. Like, go to my other account for that shit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I'll always put all of your social media links, but it's pretty much just at bodyslammingqueen333.
Yes.
Okay.
That's where I would prefer people follow. Twitter, I'm not as active on, but if people are interacting with me, then I'll get on there more. And I have a TikTok, but I don't use it.
Me either. I made one and I neglect it so bad.
It's just so much work.
It is. I just need someone to really sit down with me and be like, look, here's some like hacks, you know, like I feel like an old lady, you know, I'm like,
me too.
How do you use the computer with TikTok? It for episode 120 with Jeslyn Michelle. What a beautiful, awesome woman. Guys, I love this podcast. I love you. I'm just having a great goddamn week, and I hope you guys can feel my good energy through the podcast. I'm always hoping and wishing for the best for all of you guys. I appreciate the support, whether it's just listening or buying a shirt or telling a friend about the podcast. It really, really means the world. Thank you, guys. Also, UFC Fight Pass is the world's premier combat sports streaming service with over 200 live events, the largest fight library in existence, original shows, and more. Sign up for 1 year and get half off for a limited time at ufcfightpass.com/signup. I mean, if you guys really don't have Fight Pass by now, you're missing out. Zol and I talk about it, I feel like, every week. It's a cool freaking platform. I've been naughty and I've given my password to some of my homies, and then they use it so often that they're like, fuck, I'll just get my own. So I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm not saying share your password or whatever, but sometimes I just use it to tease my friends, and they realize that there's a plethora of awesome content on there, and so they sign up. So maybe $10, guys.
Ten
come
bucks.
On. That's 2 Subway footlongs, whatever. All right, guys. Next week, we talk to the beautiful and talented Sumiko Lady Samurai Inaba. This girl is on a roll. She's 5-0, undefeated Hawaiian fighter. She's currently ranked number 8 in the Bellator women's flyweight rankings. She's a Sucker Punch fighter. Shout out Sucker Punch, Brian Butler. Yeah, and she's just a sweetie. I'm really excited to have her on. You know, I feel like I'm lucky to talk to some of these up-and-comers before they just blow the hell up, you know? So she's going to give us some of her time and get real personal, like we always get. So tune in next week for that one. And don't forget, you can support the show by buying something, emailing us, checking out my sexy pictures, whatever you want. Sexviolencewithrebelgirl.com. That's for merch. ashleyrebelgirl.com, pictures and videos. And then you can always email us sexandviolencepodcast@gmail.com. That is it. I love you guys. Thank you so much for your fan questions that are available on the UFC Fight Pass platform because they are exclusive content. And a special, special thank you to audio engineer DJ Zoll. You can check him out at DJ Zoll on Instagram and Tomorrow Kids Studios at Tomorrow Kids Official. DJ Zoll, do you have any shows right now that you want to promote? I know you might have something on Halloween.
Popping up at Canyon Inn Yorba Belinda.
Canyon Inn in Yorba Belinda on Halloween. So if you
light
want
to... shows and everything.
Oh, there's going to be light shows. So never mind. I was going to say something, you know, what goes hand in hand with light shows. Anyway, I didn't say it. There's going to be kids on drugs there, but, you know, drugs are bad, kids. You can find us on Instagram at Sex and Violence with Rebel Girl and myself at Ashley MMA. Guys, we are looking for sponsors right now. We're doing a hard push. I'm a busy girl, but we're really looking for some aligned brands. You know, my demographic, even though I want more ladies listening, you guys are about 85% dudes. So dudes who like MMA and sex, which is every guy, you know, if you guys have a brand or a company, something that you want to promote and you think this podcast would be good, hit me up at, sexandviolencepodcast@gmail.com. That's it, guys. Remember, what do I say every week? Be kind, be grateful, but don't take shit from anyone, okay? I'll talk to you next week with a new guest and more tales of sex and violence.